fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book. Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
So that was the story on CBS where Bill Belichick attempting to sell his book on winning was shut down by the 24-year-old girlfriend of Bill Belichick, now head coach of the University of North Carolina. Relationship expert and network anchor Martha McCallum joins us now from the story. Analyze that exchange.
First of all, I think that just watching Bill Belichick promote a book is a painful experience because
so
he doesn't
terrible.
Like to talk.
I know.
He doesn't want to elaborate on anything. He doesn't want to say like, oh, I got this great little story I want to share with you. It's just an anecdote from my book. One time, you know, Tom Brady and I, whatever. No, it's so painful for him. And when the reporter was pressing him on why there's not one mention of Robert Kraft, even in the acknowledgments, he was like, it was like watching a post Patriots press conference. He's like, nope, nope. Yeah.
Didn't include him. Had to cut it out. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't in there. Nope. Right. And then she pipes up and it is, it's just very weird. The whole thing is very weird. I'm not sure that the entire country is spending a lot of time thinking about their relationship, as the reporter suggested on the way into the question, but it is what it is.
So the University of North Carolina says they're concerned because they say that she is everywhere. She's handling his appearances, handling where he's going.
Doesn't usually turn out well, does it?
Never.
I'm thinking about that, you know, the woman that Tiger Woods was dating for a while, and people said the same thing about her.
Yeah.
That she was always around, that she was always involved and sort of like hanging on to the whole situation. I think that generally doesn't turn out too well.
Martha, the other thing is, like, do you see Bill Belichick in odd poses? She's dressed as a mermaid and he's fishing.
How weird is that?
Nothing weirder. Ever. Nothing weird.
And he's like, oh, I don't really look at it. Like she's like, come on, I'm dressed up like a mermaid and you
media.
Can pretend like you're reeling me in. And then I'm going to put it all over social media. I mean, whatever. I mean, whatever they're into. But to have that be part of the book promo, probably not too helpful.
Well, put it this way. Does he do another interview for it? I mean, he gets money. You know what it's like. You have a book out. You got to promote it.
You do have to promote it. But, you know, she's clearly the media manager. And I don't know how much experience she has, but she thinks that when she pipes up in the middle of it, that means they're going to cut that part out. Hello? That is not how it works.
Right.
She's like, no, we're not going to talk about that. She's not thinking this is what's going to be viral. But of course it is. So
right.
That was a big lesson for her.
The other thing is, it's people who watched him not say words for years would be the toughest guy, taking on a 6'8", 320-pound lineman who shows up late. He'll confront him and rugged him, cut players on the spot. All of a sudden, you see him knuckle under a 24-year-old who knows nothing about life. It doesn't even matter.
Oh, men do that all the time.
Huh? You mean a 24-year-old man controlling women?
No, I'm just saying, you know, it's sort of like, what's that saying? There's no fool like an old fool. I don't know.
Do people say that?
In general?
Oh.
Sure.
Oh.
There's no fool like an old fool. You never heard that?
No, I never really heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's because you're not an old fool yet.
But, I hope not.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I think there's something fairly predictable about it. And, you know, remember at the roast, the Brady roast, they were all ribbing him about this relationship.
But here's the other thing that's interesting. It's like when you have this focus, he's like a genius and he spends most of his time in the film room, not interacting with people, working 18 hours a day. So what happens is it's like the Tiger Woods imbalance. You only do one thing your whole life. And at some point you pick your head up and you go, wow, not only am I'm not really good to socially, but I'm famous and I'm rich and other people just come in and you have no way of judging people's motives or what they're up to, or
right.
you don't have that
like
social
skills
experience.
Are not really there. And you're
We're
right.
Street smart.
He's a genius coach. And I loved watching him coach the Patriots all those years. The relationship that he had with Tom Brady was extraordinary. So this
well,
is a
different.
Historic,
it wasn't
fantastic.
Great.
Well, but it was productive.
Yes.
I mean, incredibly productive. So they were doing something right, right? They had an incredible relationship in that way, and it produced amazing football. I loved that clip that they played of, you know, when they played against the Falcons and came back, you know, scored 21 points in like the last whatever it was, 5 minutes or something. But, you know, and I don't mean to be, if they're happy, more power to them. And I hope they live happily ever after. But if she can't pipe up in the middle of it and not have the rest of us go, oh, okay, now we're going to talk about it,
right?
Because it brought it out there for everyone to see.
I mean, we put the request in to interview him. I mean, I have a lot of legitimate questions. I might not focus on the social part of it. I really don't care that much.
Is this your pitch? Please come here.
Yes, if he's listening right now.
And she could come with him and sit right here next to where I'm sitting right now?
As long as we keep the camera on
all
of us.
I think it'd be very interesting.
That would probably be even more interesting.
Absolutely.
Right.
I hope he does that with you.
Well, what's going to be interesting is because Bob Kraft and he obviously were on the outs. That's one thing.
Yeah.
So
More so than we knew, I guess.
And he said, well, Bob Kraft said he fired you. And he said, no, I quit. Because I know he said he fired you.
He said
you.
We parted ways.
Yeah, we parted ways. That. So that's a huge difference. And now it looks like Parcells and Bob Kraft have made up.
Right, so now the book promo interview has become about his 24-year-old girlfriend,
yes,
interjecting and reeling him in a way that most men I don't think would find
You know, it's almost as bad, Alec Baldwin.
And then
Baldwin.
It's about him saying he was fired.
Eric, do you have the one
with Alec Baldwin
on the red carpet? This is terrible. By the way, this is on the heels of another story. I'm doing Outnumbered at the top of the hour. I think I'm going to be the man. You never know. And one of the stories is Amal Clooney and George Clooney in an interview in say evidently she could be banned from this country for her role as one of eight members of the International Criminal Court who voted to indict Benjamin Netanyahu and his former defense minister Gallant. And she could be banned from the country. And then as I'm researching this, I see this story. George Clooney says he and his wife have never had a fight in over 10 years of marriage. Is that possible?
Not in my house, but it might be possible in their house, and more power to them if that's true. They always look pretty happy. But yeah, that seems like a bit of a stretch, doesn't it? I mean, does that mean like over anything? Over like... oh, are you going to wear that tie? You know what I mean? Like nothing? Or does he mean, you know, just like a huge blowout fight?
They just don't have a fight. If you don't have a fight, I don't think you're in a real relationship. Because that means you're like, it's in the dating stage still. Like where
right.
you're looking to put your best. And if you're doing that,
like,
that's never
I just love
work.
Everything you do and you love everything I do.
Right.
And
I'm
so
afraid of being the one to blow it.
Yeah, exactly.
Until you realize you're in. The other story, I only caught the tail end of it, but evidently there's this new trend that is being introduced where marriage could be like a couple of contracts, like a 4-year contract. Instead of a lifetime contract, a 4-year contract. Do you think that could ever work where people will be more on their toes because they know they could be renewed or not be renewed?
No, I mean, I'm a Catholic. I got married in a Catholic church. It's a forever agreement. It is not a 4-year agreement. It's a vow. You take a vow to love someone and cherish them for the rest of your life. I think the 4-year agreement plan is just a totally different version of it than I would ever.
What if you take a vow for 4 years?
No,
you wouldn't?
It's a life. It's like swans. You know, they mate for life.
Oh, is that true?
Swans mate for life. That's why you always see two of them, you know, together on the pond.
But like, how do they meet? I mean, is it arranged? Is like the first swan
Pinch?
You see?
I don't know.
This is a fantastic conversation. By the way, the cabinet meeting is starting with the President of the United States puts on his own show every day. Fresh off his show at night, he has his own show with his cabinet. This is his third one. And we're looking at what's going on right now. So Russia, Ukraine, we talked in real life about and the break on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned, like you sound like you may be concerned, that we might be laying the groundwork to walk away. I think this could be if Zelensky ends up dead and Kyiv ends up falling and we walked away, this will be his version of Afghanistan. Even though he didn't start when he was there. It started actually when Biden was there as senator, but Afghanistan.
Well, you can sense Secretary of State Rubio, who's sitting right next to the president right now live on as they do this cabinet meeting, said several days ago, maybe it doesn't work. Maybe we don't get the ceasefire. You know, we're working as hard as we can, but maybe we don't. Maybe it doesn't happen. And obviously it was something that the president said could be handled in a few days. And then you had Susie Wild in the interview with the New York Post say something similar, that we can make the absolute best effort we can make, but if they want to keep killing each other, then that's the way it's going to be. What hasn't really been articulated is what kind of terms, what would our support look like? And really understanding what happened between Zelensky and Trump in the Vatican the other day, and hopefully a move towards some peace and some assurances of some kind of security for Ukraine. But there's a lot of huge question marks around this right now.
Right now, Lavrov says we want the world to recognize Crimea and the 20% of Ukraine that we've taken. He names all the provinces. And then he also he wants to make sure they're disarmed, wants to disarm Ukraine. That's never good. None of this stuff is going to happen.
Smaller military.
Yeah. Smaller military, if not totally disarmed. And Lavrov says that he explained that to Witkoff. Mm-hmm. Witkoff didn't say anything about that when he came out. So you're either stabbing him in the back. Witkoff is not somebody, I don't think he's playing that game. I'll tell American people the opposite of what happened. So I hope people realize what we realized really through George W. Bush, that we can't be trusted. He's got to be in a point where it's in his best interest to stop fighting. And the only way to do that is to continue to flow, arm up massively Ukraine. He's already lost 900,000 plus off the battlefield, dead or wounded. And that's the only thing he seems to understand, Martha.
I don't know what makes Putin stop in his tracks at this point. I think he feels, perhaps, that he can get what he wants. He can get Crimea. He can get the 20% that they've been holding. There's been very little forward movement over the course of this war, even from the very early days. So that's why I think this meeting between Zelensky and Trump at the Vatican probably raised a lot of questions. And I think it may have been President Trump's way of saying, look, you know, you're not going to keep bombing Ukraine. We're supposed to be working towards a ceasefire. And if you do, I'm going to try to figure out another. I'm going to maybe figure out another alliance, another way forward here.
The other thing, Martha, is, as you know, the president's taking political risk and political hits by giving Vladimir Putin a fresh start, saying we'll give you a problem with the economy. And I thought Putin would have recognized that and wouldn't have made the president look so bad. If it ends now, the way it ends, where it's heading, he makes the president look terrible. He's going to hold a grudge on that. And this was his chance to have economic development with anybody.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Brian. Think about the irony here. The entire Russiagate catastrophe of the first term and the suggestion that, you know, oh, that Putin was in Trump's back pocket, right, all along.
Yes.
And Trump was always stronger on giving Ukraine support. He gave Ukraine way more support than they ever got from Biden or from Obama. But now it's getting to a point where, you know, I think that the gig may be up. And I think that the choice that the United States makes may have to be to continue to support Ukraine.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.